We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. Don't argue with me. It's this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to jump on in to the first dipper here momentarily. Let me get a couple more text messages to keep those cleaned up. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, this is the way John does. Is every day it's the monologue. Also, did you hear that 10 million pounds of boar's head meat was recalled due to a listeria outbreak? I did not hear this. I'm going home now to check the refrigerator. By the way, he said, I want to remind all the people in my Right Side Ruffian Pick'em group, there's two college football games tonight, and I'm hoping Boomer gets a lot of picks correct this Saturday because he's basically in last place. Nice. All right, we'll do JP on sports later, too, and see how you do on that. Gary from Decatur checks in and says, so does it mean the government-supported affirmative action programs were prejudiced against minorities' ability to meet required standards in certain job fields? One could take it that way. It was like saying, you're not competent on your own. Brian from Huntsville says, Biden and vote-shaming brothers. He said, I guess he went through public records and found out that Corn Pop has not voted in decades. Wow. Wow. Brian, wow. Just going there. All right. James from St. Clair County says, galling levels of extreme prejudice sounds kind of like the same spirit behind LG Bay's. Yeah, I know. You know, James, you're just determined for me to read out your LBJ quote. I get it. I just stop. All right, let's go ahead and jump on in here. So, word salad bar. What am I talking about? So, you've heard Kamala Harris being referred to as the word salad master. I'm going to tell you right now, she's like a buffet. She's a word salad bar. Just belly on up to the word salad bar. Load up your plate. We got all the fixings, all the trimmings, and all the right sauce. And every day, it seems like there's something she says that you look at and go, huh? Hang on a second. Let me process that. And it shouldn't have to be that way. Now, I am not going to try and tell you that people don't have gaffes. I'm not going to try and tell you that people don't have moments where they do something and they later on think about it and go, probably should have said it different. Or maybe I wouldn't have done it that way. Or, oh, wow, maybe I'll get that moment back one time. But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Is there a reason to hold her to a higher standard? And I would have to answer, yes, there is. Keep in mind that the person that she is striving to portray herself as, seeking to have the position that is the perhaps the highest position in the world as president of the United States of America, is certainly a person. Put their pants on one leg at a time, right? They're going to make mistakes too, right? They do. All that's real, except when they reach that pinnacle of profession, when they reach that level of professional, you know, competence, they're supposed to be able to keep a string of sentences together without sounding like they just you know, had a little something to drink before they came on the stage. I mean, she says stuff sometimes you look at it and go, yeah, I'm just going to have to question your competency. And I realize I'm sounding, you know, like, okay, Phil, you're being a little brutal today. Well, you know what? She's asked for it. That's one of the things about politics. I ran for a state-level office. I know what it feels like to get out there and put your name out there, put your actual face on a sign and have somebody judge you, because that's what she did. She's not asking for anything other than what any other candidate would do. She is asking us to assess her. By throwing her name in the hat to be the leader of the free world, Kamala Harris has asked us to review her and to find her either wanting or not wanting in capability. And I'm going to tell you right now, she is out there right now just, I mean, like, I don't know. It's like she's munching carrots every time she talks. It just, I don't get it. Some of the things that we're seeing right now are coming together in what we call a media blitz. So she is like game on right now. Now, remember, she's been the top tier of the Democrat ticket now for, what, about 3.5 months? She didn't do a single interview until very recently. Like, none. And first of all, imagine this. This is, you've got somebody who, she was the Attorney General for the state of California, the most populous state, I think it's the most populous state in the nation, the Attorney General. That means that she is probably someone who has argued before juries, given a lot of speeches, made some presentations, even been to a few ribbon cuttings on a kind of a grand scale. Attorney General of the state of California. Then she was, oh, by the way, a U.S. Senator. And don't forget, it wasn't like she had a long career as a U.S. Senator. She was barely in office 2 years and decided she was going to run for president. And so she ran for president before and didn't do that great. In fact, it basically sucked. She didn't get 1% of the prize. She dropped out. She was done. She was getting cooked. Why? For the same reasons we're seeing now. And then, oh, by the way, she was vice president anyway. For the last 3 years, she has been the vice president of the United States, one heartbeat away from being the leader of the free world. You'd think that somewhere in there, she would have gained the ability to clearly and cogently provide to the world her views on topics when asked. You would also think that when you carry those vaunted positions, that you would have the ability to recall information that no one else may be in privy to, that maybe she knows details because she's been in more meetings than we have. And I get it. There were times when I was in office and I'd be in Montgomery and I'd think, is the press even in the same building I'm in? Because we just did yada, 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 and they reported it this way. And I get that. Sometimes the person in the position might actually know more. She doesn't sound like it. And so when we start looking at and critiquing her ability to elucidate her thoughts, we're not being mean, we're not being partisan, we're not being, prejudicial. We're literally being asked by her to assess her. That's why she's out there. She's not saying, give me your vote. She's saying, tell me if you think I'm worthy. That's what a campaign is. A campaign for office is, tell me if you think I'm worthy, which means we have to assess it. And so she did no interviews until recently. Got a piece here from The Independent. It's a bit of a lean towards Kamala piece. But it does point out she just began a blitz of the media. When's the date of this? 2 days ago. Vice President Kamala Harris has been criticized for comparatively few media appearances. She only did her first sit-down interview in August, a month after Biden passed the torch. She waited 30 days to do anything. 30 days to do it. Let me ask you a question. If you had... Okay, I guess I don't need to be rhetorical. Here's the bottom line. I don't know why I was talking around. JP's looking at me as I talk to myself while I'm sitting here. So the bottom line is this. You're the Vice President of the United States of America. And the President of the United States just stepped down after already winning the primary. And you're the person who they're going to put up to take his place. That's the time when you immediately say, we're going to have a press conference. And you go out in front of the press and you talk to the American people immediately. And she didn't do it. She waited over a month. What does that tell you? She didn't know what to say. She was scared of how to say it. She was afraid she might get questioned. She didn't know if she could even put it all, and her handlers weren't putting her out there. They immediately went into, holy crap, we're the candidate mode. It was like an episode of Veep. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. I'm gonna run for president. Run around the room. What do we do? Do no harm. Okay. And they went into do no harm mode. Listen, if you've just been, this is historic, y'all. Think about what I'm saying. This is an absolutely historic, unprecedented moment in time when one candidate has already won the primary, is still holding the office. He didn't die, that we know of. He didn't die. He's still there. And yet he stepped down because of pressure from his own party. And she steps into the role, and that, my friends, is when a leader goes to the microphone and says, ladies and gentlemen of the United States, I need to address what just happened. And she didn't do it. Now she is. So, bam, here we go. The press wants more access. Well, she did Alex Cooper's podcast, Call Her Daddy. Spent a lot of time talking about abortion. On Monday, she and her running mate Tim Walz went on 60 Minutes. She talked about what kind of gun she carries. Allegedly, she has a Glock, we're told. On Tuesday morning, she appeared on The View, which was a love fest and a little bit weird. And during that view, by the way, I'll tell you about that here momentarily. I need to make a note to myself about Biden on The View. All right, come back to it. And then on Tuesday evening, she went on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and drank a beer. And that was weird. Beer, making a note to myself. She also went on Howard Stern's radio show where she called Trump a sore loser. Stern basically said, I love you and I'm voting for you. And then last week, shortly after Iran fired nearly 200 rockets at Israel, she did two sit-down interviews, but they were with local affiliates. Okay. There's a number of reasons you might want to do a media blitz this late in the game, and this article points them out. The first one is because early voting's already started, and she's trying to stay in the minds of the people. She's finally decided. I mean, listen, if Do No Harm was going to keep working, she would have broken free in the polls, but she hasn't. If she was winning, she would have said, "Do no harm. We need to start doing something." But she's literally in a place right now where doing no harm was getting her nowhere, and so now they're trotting her out. So one, early voting has started. She needs to stay in front of people. Two, Harris is looking at the fact that, you know, she's been laughed at on a number of things in the past, and she's tried to separate herself from Biden, and it hasn't worked. So now she's trying to get out there and separate herself from Biden. So what'd she do? She went on The View, and she said that she would not change a thing about what Biden did. So that's not working. And then there's third thing is that really she's targeting special audiences. She's finding those niche audiences. She thinks she can attract younger women by going on Call Her Daddy podcast and talk about abortion. She thinks she can talk to, you know, the males of the world by going on Howard Stern. And I guess she thinks she can drink a beer with Colbert and that'll somehow bring people around to her being the common person, and she's not. I am almost out of time. Do I have a caller on the line right now? Let me see if I can grab that real quick. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm awesome. Good to hear your voice. Great show today. The thing that's not perplexing about Kamala Harris, she cannot speak extemporaneously.
No.
She can't do a press conference because she'll degenerate into nervous gales of idiotic laughter. What's amazing to me is that the press, the minute they pulled old Sleepy Joe out and installed her without a single vote from the American people, the press felt it their duty to praise her as though she were a landmark, awesome person, and she didn't exist for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
As far as the press was concerned, they had zero coverage on her because she accomplished nothing. She did nothing, and if she ever said anything, she embarrassed herself. So all of a sudden, she's the second coming of sliced bread. I mean, come on. It's hilarious to me, and that anybody would buy this is stunning to me.
Well, and I agree. In fact, my wife and I had that same conversation last night. It is stunning, but it's also stunning to us because we see the worldview differently than they do. And yet there are people who are going to vote for her just because she's not Trump. And I think that's what's carrying her the most is not Trump. I don't think she's carrying the weight by being Kamala Harris. I think she's carrying the weight by being not Trump.
Well, we talked about this a long time ago. Because months ago, I didn't think Trump could win because of the anti-Trump hatred. And it is bitter. It is unbelievable. But I tell you what, I'm feeling different right now. I think the hate Trump crowd is going to show up in much smaller numbers than the patriots who want their country back and who want closed borders and want a good economy.
I agree with that. Sparky, good to hear your voice, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks, bye.
See you, buddy. All right, got to take a break. I ran long, so let's go ahead and take that break right now there, JP. We'll come back and talk about this. So the word salad bar. Did you hear about Univision last night? That was interesting. We'll talk about that and more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm in this number one of the triple dipper, the word salad bar. And let me just refresh something I said a moment ago because I want you guys to ingrain this, all right? Soak this in because when a candidate runs for office, which Kamala Harris is doing, when a candidate runs for office, you are not being asked just to vote for them. You're being asked to approve them for the job. That's what it is. Casting a vote is just your way of casting your approval or disapproval. We get all this, you know. Well, I think you need to stop, you know, picking on her and the fact that she. I mean, some people like the thing with Biden. I'll never forget putting it out on social media that Biden was stumbling through one of his interviews, and I said something about it on social media, and I got back from a trip. You just need to stop that right now because the man has a speech impediment, and it's really galling that you would do this. And I thought, come on, he's the president of the United States of America. And if he's going to put himself out there, he knows he's going to put himself out there to be assessed as capable or incapable of the job. Same goes with her. And when you're a candidate, you're not just doing the job and getting approval ratings, which, by the way, think about it, you hear about it all the time. The presidential approval ratings are out. Why do they do that? Because they want to know. The same is true, though, when you're running for office. You are running for office seeking the approval of people to do the job. And so when she word salads her way through multiple flimsy interviews, even the ones that aren't hard, like she went on The View the other day, and it was gross. I only saw clips of it. I will confess, I could not do an entire smorgasbord of the Love Fest. I had to just watch clips of it. Nonetheless, it was gross. And even in a gross Love Fest moment, she gets asked by one of the Sonny Hostin? Anyway, one of the hosts asked her, which I thought, uh-oh, they didn't see this coming. Well, what would you do different than Joe Biden? Oh no. Deer in the headlights, what do I say? Now she realizes she's trapped. Y'all, this is a talking point they should be ready for. This is absolutely need to say, well, I'm going to put my own brand on things. There's certain ways that I would do them if I were president, but I've been vice president and I've been dutiful and I've been working there with him. He's been the president and I'm a good trooper. I'm going to fall in line. No, she didn't do any of that. She goes, I cannot think of a thing that I would do differently. Bing! All of a sudden, the whole strategy of making her different than Biden went away. Why? Because she did it. Not because anybody did it to her. She was on a Love Fest show. She was in the safe zone, man. She was in, like, you know, the cry room at some kind of, you know, liberal university where you're allowed to go and get your safe space because you're afraid you're going to be triggered. She was literally in a safe place, and she still just totally hosed it. But then there's a 60 Minutes interview. Whoo! So 60 Minutes, I have mixed feelings about the 60 Minutes interview. I have mixed feelings about CBS in general. CBS, I realize that there's going to be certain members of CBS's crew that are liberal, some that maybe less so. There's some who want to be seen as true journalists and willing to be objective and try to ask the hard questions, and then, you know, they get stuck with what they get stuck with. But then there's others on there who are just soulless harpies who moderate debates. But she did the 60 Minutes interview, and it was perhaps an indication as to why they've tried to avoid scrutiny for so long. Because to his credit, the interviewer asked actual questions, and at times he really pressed her. Now, there's some things that happened come and go on this. I mean, three times in that interview, by the way. Story here on Woke Spy details some of the worst parts. Three times she refused to answer about her border policies and why the border crisis might be on her. She refused to answer why she was flip-flopping on certain things, or at the very least, she didn't give a very robust answer. These are not hard questions. They should be known. And I got more, and we talk about the editing that was done. We'll square up on that, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Word Salad Bar, that's where we are. Dive right in. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. We're going to get you all the way to go home time. And I'm talking about a beautiful, beautiful weekend we're looking at right now. By the way, I have to make note of the fact that, speaking of beautiful weekends, that the people of Florida who were in the path of Hurricane Milton are still recovering. And we praise God, by the way, that it did not go into the full-blown catastrophe that we feared that it could have. In fact, that it could have. I even saw one person, you know, giving credit to the Lord. The eye wall sort of dismantled as it hit the shore, like almost like the storm took a nosedive for a brief time when it came ashore. It still caused massive devastation. Right now, I believe the death count is up to 16. and there are millions without power, but they are restoring power like pretty gamefully right now. So anyway, prayers for the people of Florida, and continue to remember those who were struck by Hurricane Helene all the way up into the Carolinas. Prayers for those folks, and if you're doing anything on relief and all that, keep it going. Just keep it going. All right, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper Word Salad Bar. We're going to wrap it up during this segment, but I'll tell you, this 60 Minutes interview she had, on the one hand, I was watching the way the interviewer dealt with the questions, and he was very firm. And he'd say, yes, but the question was actually, because, I mean, ask her about how she's going to deal with the economy. Well, I was born a middle class. Okay, yes, but the question was, he asked her three times to deal with the southern border. She never got to it. He asked her about her flip-flopping, and he literally called it, you know, her changing of positions, her flip-flopping on the issues, and he talked about fracking and other things, and her response was not very robust. And then there were some things that happened in the aftermath. So on the one hand, I'm thinking, well, you know, CBS, good on you for doing an actual interview. And then afterwards they posted it, and I don't know if you recall this or not, but they posted it, and they posted two different versions to one of her worst answers. She completely went word salad bar on the question of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and supporting Israel. I mean, she went a-humming around the world, not sure what she said, but tried to imply that all the things she'd done were the things she had done when she did them so that they were done, so they could be done when she did them. And I don't know. It didn't resonate. And then you came back to the edited version that was posted online, and everybody realized, wait a minute. If you watched the original interview, the answer they posted with that question is not the way she answered it. It's like they gave two different versions, and they did. And the one they posted online, well, that one was the one that was actually better for her. It made it sound a little more solid, more cogent, more firm, more concise. So CBS went ahead and lost traction on that one. In fact, so much so that the Kamala Harris campaign then began to have to do some crawfishing. Story here on Fox News, Dateline, 2 days ago. Harris campaign distances itself from 60 Minutes edits by saying, we don't control CBS's production decisions. Well, we know that, but then again, we also don't believe that. We really believe that what you said was, could you make it look a little better, please, when it's online? If you want access in the White House press corps later on, you're going to go make a change, right? So CBS is now facing calls to release an unedited copy, and they won't. And it's causing quite the controversy. You can't claim yourself to be non-biased and objective if you're going to edit the results of the non-biased and objective interview and post a version that obviously proves you're not non-biased and objective. So the Harris campaign says it has nothing to do with the edit. Well, so here we go. We've got The View should have been a love fest, and yet she answered a question that tied her to Biden. And then she went on Colbert, oh, by the way, and cracked a beer and just acted goofy at a time when you have people recovering from hurricanes. Did not seem presidential. You look at it and go, why would you allow yourself to be led into that moment? Don't tell me that wasn't pre-planned. We've got your favorite beer. Let's crack it right now. What do you say? The champagne of beers, Miller High Life. Wow. And it also came across just spectacularly goofy. And then you've got Howard Stern, Love Fest. And then you've got abortion on, you know, Call Her Daddy. And then you've got Last Night on Univision. So there's a bit of controversy. Last night on Univision, I will say this. It appeared that the audience was prepared to ask her hard questions that she had not seen coming. The audience actually asked her real questions. I mean, they stood up and they said, I can't afford my groceries. What are you going to do about it? I was born a middle-class child, and it didn't work well. And then there's also the controversy about, did she use a teleprompter to deliver her remarks? So this morning, as I'm taking a long drive to a neighboring county to see a client, I'm listening to David Webb do his live show, because yes, I'm a junkie for this stuff. And David Webb actually got on to people like me who posted the fact that she appears to have used a teleprompter. He said it was in Spanish, it wasn't for her. And I'm looking at it and thinking, David, it's not facing anybody else. There's nobody else on stage that could even see that teleprompter. And oh, by the way, I tried zooming in to double check myself. You can't see the words. So the question is, did she use a teleprompter? I don't know, but I believe she did. I believe she needed it. Because when she's speaking and the imagery is there, she's staring right into that screen and the words are scrolling and everybody can see it. I mean, now, you couldn't see it then. It was only facing her. So even Univision didn't work out well. I also heard a caller call into David Webb's show, though, that I thought was very interesting. He was Hispanic. He's bilingual. And he said he went on Instagram to see what kind of response they were going to get from the Univision questions. And he thought what he was going to see was a fair mix of people saying, you know, Trump this or Harris this. And he said no. He said they're all in Spanish, so unless you're bilingual or you have the ability to run an Instagram interpreter for you, you may not know that of the 1,000-plus comments that were added to the posting of that, he said they were overwhelmingly pro-Trump. People telling her to sit down, we're tired of you, it's not working out. He said, I think she's losing the Latin vote big time, and going on Univision did nothing to help it. So here's my point. The word salad bar, is it doing anything for her right now? Is it? Is it doing anything beneficial? Howard Stern, was that really helpful? Howard Stern tells Harris the sun will go out if she loses. We're in for the darkest skies on the planet. God, I'm not even going to go with that article. But the last one I've got comes from townhall.com. Matt Vespa wrote a piece looking at it, talking about her drinking a beer with Colbert, and said, you know, even the liberal media is looking at that and going, well, that was just painful. So I don't know that the word salad bar is really helping her campaign. I mean, I look at it and think, what we're doing right now is being asked to approve her. And I go back to my earlier comments, and I'll wrap it again by going back to my earlier point. It is fair game to talk about the way she talks. It is absolutely fair game to talk about the way she talks, the way she presents herself, the way she tries to enlighten the world on her positions and fails at doing so miserably over and over and over again. If it happened once, you chalk it up to a mistake or a gaffe. If it happens twice, you begin to wonder. If it happens every day, even on friendly interviews, you look at it and go, you're either not very bright, or at the very least, you don't think well on your feet, you don't speak extemporaneously well, and a person in your position is supposed to be able to do that. So what happens when she's in a meeting with Putin? What happens when she's in a meeting with, I don't know, the Pope? Who knows? What happens when the leader of the free world, the President of the United States, sits down with another leader of a foreign nation and can't think on her feet and can't describe things well? What happens when there's a natural disaster and she comes to the microphone to encourage and bolster the fears and concerns of the nation? Can she even do it? And I'm going to be honest with you, a part of her job is communications. And she's failing at it miserably. Because when you run for office, you are not just asking for a vote. What you're asking for is for the voters to approve you for the job. And this media blitz she's on is not helping. She's putting herself out there, and people are seeing it, and the polls are now reflecting that the more we see of her, the less people want to vote for her. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I think JP may have some information for us on that Aliens Enemies Act of 1798. Trump speaking in Aurora right now. We'll talk about that and cover down on some stuff and catch some text messages. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.